Haunted houses are so passé, we've got to move forward and take the horror genre to new depths. Now is the time of the haunted swimming pool. Yep, that's what we're doing. God, January horror movies suck. Welcome everyone to Screams After Midnight. I am Peter and joining me as always is Tim.
Who's ready to get wet?
You had a cheeky look in your face, and I thought, oh, he's got a pun. He's got something witty to say. Maybe a little quote from the movie or something. And instead, you hit me with that.
It was pretty witty. Well, wetty.
I feel like we're just declining down the side of a joke or a humor mountain right now.
Jumping into the shallow end.
Yeah. So, welcome everyone. It's a horror movie podcast. We get together, we talk about a horror movie, and we're finally kicking off some 2024 movies after catching up in 2023 for what felt like an eternity. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's only April.
Mm-hmm. It's only April.
We're not that late into the year before we did a movie from January, but here we are.
Right. It's only so, April.
But yeah, Tim has a hard time getting to the movies frequently right now anyway, so we probably would have been waiting until close to now anyway for some of the movies that came out in January. But we are kicking off with a true January release, and that is Night Swim.
Splish Splash.
So yeah, this is directed by Bryce McGuire, who I can't say I've heard of.
Bryce Dallas McGuire?
That's not how names work, no. No. He has done... Oh, he wrote a script for Baghead, which is a 2023 movie? Or is that a 2024? Either way.
I know it just came out on Shudder like a few weeks ago, so yeah. I think we count it as 2024.
Yeah, I think it was one we were looking at. So, he's got some writing credits. What about directing credits, though? What's he got in the...
I'd also be interested if he has any second unit production credits.
He's got a bunch of shorts, including one called Night Swim, so I suspect that this is a...
Are they related?
I would presume this movie is a feature-length version of whatever that short film was.
Otherwise, that'd be quite the coincidence.
Yeah. Kind of like, you remember Lights Out had a short movie that it was kind of based on that the director had done previously? Then they expanded it into a full movie.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on. Tim's just being... What did you want? You wanted second unit?
Just curious.
I don't see any second unit, I'm afraid.
That's
I see
a shame.
Producer, director, camera and electrical equipment, additional crew, but no second unit.
Dang.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. He's credited as additional literary material... for Imaginary, another 2024 movie we'll be getting to in the not-too-distant future. So
get excited.
Yeah. Not in the next couple, though. We've already got the next couple planned out, and they're more interesting than Imaginary. So, but yes. We'll start spoiler-free, of course, as we always do. We'll give you a warning before we get into the spoilers. Just before we get started, I'll just remind you can support the show by going to patreon.com/mailfuzzTV. Helps us out a bunch. You get a bonus episode. I'll tell you more about all that at the end, but you can also hit the like button on YouTube. Why are you smiling at me like that, Tim?
I can't get into it. Well, we'll see if it pops up.
What are you talking about? I plug the things at the start a little bit. I've been doing it for ages now. It's so amusing.
I can't bring it up. We just must continue as normal.
Is it because it's a spoiler? Is that why you can't bring it up?
Sure.
Okay, you tell me off air then, at least. If the audience can't know, I need to know at this point. All right. Night Swim. Hey, it has some actors in it that are all right.
That's fair, yeah.
It has Wyatt Russell. And Kerry Condon as the married couple, the parents of the family, who are the main characters in this. And that's a positive of element going in. Nothing else about it looked that positive going in, but that's because it's a horror movie released in January, so I don't expect much.
What's kind of funny about that is, like, yeah, people always talk about the beginning of the year kind of being the dumping ground you know, for bad releases. But I always felt like that was, you know, January and February. I don't know if March maybe had a little bit of that reputation, but I feel like the last couple of years, February has kind of reclaimed it a little bit. Like, I feel like, you know, we've got some pretty decent releases. Like, you know, I forget if Scream 6 was February, but I think the fifth one was like February.
That was early. That was kind of a weird time, because that was like, you know, pandemic. It's going straight to streaming. Things were a little different, but yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like February is a little bit more like, you know, this could maybe be okay. But I do. Like, January still kind of seems like a cesspool for releases.
Yeah, not to spoil what we think of this before we into it. The general premise of this is that the family moves in to their house and their swimming pool is haunted. There's more to it, but I think it's funnier to just say that's the premise and leave it there. Mm-hmm. It actually has a bit of a... There's a lot of different movies I can sort of like say this has got a little bit of in it. Like, there's a lot of things I can say, there's a bit of, you know, kind of a bit of Pet Sematary almost, a little bit of like Amityville Horror, a little bit of just general haunting stuff.
See, I think that the big one for me was like, it basically feels like, hey, what if we did Insidious, but instead of like whatever the other, it was just a pool. Or the further, whatever it is that they go in there.
The further
it
was, that's what it's called.
Instead of the further, what if it was just a pool that they go into?
I can kind of see I don't think the movie plays out that way, but I kind of see the comparison you're making with one element. So we'll get into all that in detail and spoilers, but that's the basic gist of it. The other things to note is that the dad of the family, Wyatt Russell's character, he was a baseball player, but he has now got MS and his health has deteriorated a bit. So they're kind of like looking to a new neighborhood to move into so he can sort of rehabilitate and try and like sort of just live his life and whatnot. And that's kind of where it starts off. So it starts you off at a sad, you know, this is going to be a sad family drama horror movie with characters who are going through things. Which I know Tim loves. He loves trauma in a,
of course,
in a horror movie.
Trauma and baseball, just my two favorite things.
Mm, that's why you like Twilight so much.
Of course, yeah.
So Tim, what did you think of Night Swim?
So, I didn't have high expectations going in, but to give the movie a little bit of credit, I was like kind of on its side for a little bit in the beginning. Like, I don't think it started off that horrible.
I normally don't jump in and interrupt, but I'm just going to say, I actually agree with you. I think the start was perfectly fine. I think the setup of the main characters was solid. You know, it was okay, you're giving him this like core thing that he's got going on where he's feeling insecure about the fact that he can't do things anymore. And he used to be an athlete and now he can't even walk without a walking stick. And, well, you know, and maybe because my dad had MS, maybe I was finding things to like see, you know, relatable elements in there.
Sure.
I agree. It started off perfectly fine.
And then it keeps going.
Well, I think the way I'd phrase that, Tim, is then the horror stuff started happening.
Okay, and then then you dive into the deep end, and it's too easy. I'm sorry. It's just there's too many like water pool puns to make. But I don't know. I still feel like there was like a few like I mix like few and pool together. I'm also a little sick, so my words are getting slurred. But like there was a few things I was like, okay, like, oh, this is like an interesting scare. It's not great or whatever. It's kind of cheesy, but I'm having a little bit of fun with it. But I just feel like as it goes, it just gets so tropey.
Tim, I stood up and clapped when we got our research on a computer screen and there was internet articles pulled up. I started clapping and then she goes to visit someone with tons of information. I was like, oh, this is just everything I want in a shitty horror movie, people.
So that's so funny because as she's visiting the person, I literally say like as a joke, I'm like, oh, I bet this is the person that's going to explain the ancient power of the water. Like as a joke, you know, but then yeah.
The boogeyman was around in caveman times.
Oh, how do you know this? How? But yeah, it just ended up being a pile of shit.
Yes, by the end, it was a pile of shit. I agree.
Yeah, like you said, like there was a few, like, you know, that I enjoy the actors, so, you know, it wasn't like the toughest watch, you know, seeing them and everything. And and I don't know, I feel like I make this complaint a lot, but I do feel like the movie doesn't know what kind of movie it should be, because there were some parts that I thought, like, oh, if this movie was a bit more tongue-in-cheek and trying to be like cheesy instead of like this very serious like drama, then I could see like having a lot more fun with it, because, like, I don't know, there's just like lines, you know, where people are like, there's something wrong with the pool, that I was like, all right, if they maybe weren't trying to be so serious with this or something, this could be kind of like funny. Or, you know, I can see like the cheesy 80s version of this, like a, you know, a death spa kind of movie or something, you know what I mean? Like, but again, it's just one of those movies that's just trying to be so serious that it just, there's no fun in it, even when, you know, ostensibly there should be like these pretty crazy wacky things that I should be laughing at. But yeah, it just really doesn't deliver.
Yeah, it doesn't know how to handle its tone or its tone shifts, or, like you say, does it want to be something a bit more fun? I don't think it does. I think it wants to be a serious horror movie, which is why this, there's like a random pool guy that comes in. Like,
well, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah, like that guy was so weird and trying to be funny that I thought, oh, maybe this movie is a little bit more self-aware and it's going to be kind of cheesier and funnier. But then that just ends up being like this one random moment. Kind of like when we're talking about Five Nights at Freddy, and they just have like that weird lawyer character or the taxi driver out of nowhere, where it's like, what are these weird like sketch characters doing in the middle of this like very serious movie? It's very strange. I don't know like where the disconnect comes with these kind of things, but I'm starting to see that as a trend with like these bad movies.
If I remember correctly, the waiter in that scene in Five Nights at Freddy's, like, someone told us afterwards that was like a YouTuber or something that won a competition or got a cameo. And it was like, okay, that kind of doesn't justify it, but it explains it at least. I do wonder, is this like a stand-up comedian who's like a friend of the director or something?
Maybe.
Who got a part?
Yeah. You know, like maybe he was like the star of the short or something.
Oh, yeah. So he's just here hamming it up for everyone to see. I think my big thing with this is that it was hard to take seriously. It was taking some things seriously that I had a hard time getting alongside with. And there's a moment, like, you know, 45 minutes, 50 minutes in, something in that range, that really made me laugh. And sadly, the whole movie isn't like a so bad it's funny kind of thing. It's not, like, I don't think this is that bad. I want to start by saying that. Like, I do think it's pretty shit by the end, but, like, there's definitely, we've done much worse on this show as well. Like, this is,
especially in 2023.
Yeah. This is leaning more towards, like, just kind of the sort of dull, just kind of not good with, like, sprinklings of shit kind of, like, in there. And that's, you know, that's what it is. But it was making me laugh with some of the way it was handling kind of its ideas, where once I realized what it was doing and what the pool was and how it was, like, tying into things. And there's a moment where it cuts back to the pool when the character's doing something, as if the pool's like influencing what they're doing elsewhere. And I just started laughing because I'm like, okay, this is getting a bit silly. I now want to laugh at what the premise is, as opposed to like getting into it and enjoying it. And I think something else I was thinking about, because the movie takes a long time before the stakes kind of rise up. We, like, the movie's not super long. It's 100 or so minutes, which is fine. But we're way over an hour before things feel like they've actually sort of really ramped up to the point where people are starting to realize they're in danger and feeling scared about things. And I think that sadly was this a necessity in this movie, because the number one problem with a movie about the pool's haunted, and it is mostly confined to just the pool, right? Other than one kind of thing that kind of spreads away from it later on, it is mostly just the pool. So in order for the characters to keep using the pool, to keep having creepy moments, you can't have it be so much that they start getting scared of the pool and they start being like, oh, there's clearly something wrong with the pool. We're just never going to use it now, because then the movie just stops and like nothing happens.
That was driving me crazy, because of course you have like the one, you know, the one character that's like, oh, like something's wrong. And then the other character's like, no, like, don't mention this, you know, to mom or dad, like, because, you know, they'll just think we're crazy or whatever. And it's like, you had like the craziest experience where like you almost died, but you're just treating it like nothing. Like it just got me mad.
Yeah, and the result of that is that we can't have it ramp up until quite late on, because we want to keep having just like oh, they're unaware that something creepy might happen in the pool whenever they use it, and that's whatever. So I think that was like my big structural problem with the movie, and sadly I think the premise meant that it had to be like that, because if you got to the point where you typically do in a horror movie where you start to get kind of scared of the house, say, normally it would be, so, oh, the house is creepy, and you have to keep going back to the house because it's where we live. We don't really have an option. And it's not until usually, you know, late on, we're like, sod this, we're going to a hotel, we're going to go live with someone's parents or whatever, like, we're getting out of here. It's understandable, but the problem with a swimming pool is that it's very easy to say, oh, we're just not going to use it. Yeah. we don't need to use the swimming pool. It's fine. Yeah. So we have to, like, stretch it out as long as possible where the characters don't know, or at least haven't seen enough to think, oh, we're being silly if we just don't go in the pool.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big problem with this.
To its credit, I do think they did think of, like an okay number of, like, different things to do in the pool. Like, you know, different pool games people play, different, like, instances. Mm. Like, oh, yeah, we have a... you know, this person swimming here, and oh, this person is, you know, swimming with her friends, and oh, we'll have a pool party. And it's like, okay, I like that there's, like, some variety. You know, it's not just, like, one person going for a night swim every night or whatever. So I'll give a little credit for, yeah, I do agree there's only so much you can do in the pool, but it does seem like they, you know, like, went ahead and kind of thought of, like, all the kind of major things you would think of.
I think, for me, I would say that all of the horror stuff that happens in the pool is kind of whatever, just because it fundamentally always boils down to either a ghost looking person, like, grabs them, or there's, like, black water that kind of comes in from either the vent or from the duct at the side or whatever it is. It's kind of just sort of like the normal sort of spooky supernatural stuff. It's just that we're confined to a pool for it. I do agree that they think of different scenarios in which they're in the pool. You know, of course, there's a scene where characters are playing Marco Polo. There's a scene where they're diving for coins. There's a pool party at one point. And I almost thought, like, if this was more like just, if they treated this more like Jaws, then the pool party would be the scene where they're all running up out of the beach. And instead, it doesn't do that. It goes a different kind of direction with it. But, yeah, this is the thing, like, I feel like there is some ideas here. I can sort of see what they're going for with their messaging, because there is clearly a story here about someone who is sick and the temptation of maybe, like, a way to not be sick anymore, to magically get healed. I also could maybe relate some stuff to being like, oh, he's addicted to the pool, kind of like someone has an addiction to drugs and it's affecting everyone around them, that kind of thing. Like, there's definitely some messaging in here that they're going for, and that's fine. Horror movies should have messaging by and large, but fundamentally I just think the premise is flawed. I think for me this premise would only work if it was veering much more towards like a David Lynch or like a cosmic horror. There's like a portal in the pool that's like otherworld that we can't comprehend. Sure. And whenever we're down there, cool, all we see is like infinite darkness. And I guess it's kind of like that when they swim down there, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, it just looks like someone's in like a tank and the green screen in the background, and it looks kind of fake at times.
Yeah, the effects aren't great, especially the, like, kind of, like you're saying, the black swirling water, I thought it looked especially bad.
At one point, there's like sort of dirty water, kind of like tears, and they look CG to me as well. That looked kind of rough.
Yeah.
It's like, you kind of just put some, like, prop liquid, like, on their face, or some makeup on their face. Now, it's what it is. It's not as bad as some crappy supernatural horror movies, but it's not enough to be good. It's not like enough to get it over that line by any means, and it gets worse as it goes, which is just kind of just depressing as you're watching it, because it's not like trending upwards, and
it's not starting 2024 off with the bang that we're hoping for.
To be fair, we didn't think it would, though. We kind of knew that's was going to be a stinker to start off with, and then the more interesting stuff was to come. And we are getting to something more interesting next week, guys. So fear not. There's potential on the horizon. So, yeah. Okay, I think we'll just give the spoiler warning then, and we can dive in. I feel like I usually say that, though. I say dive in quite frequently. That's not just because it's this movie.
Okay, but still, you gotta love it.
All right, spoilers, everyone, for Night Swim. You have been warned. The movie opens with a flashback to 1992. Tim, is it upsetting you that when movies do flashbacks to, like, the previous generation of something, that you were alive during the flashback? Because it's bothering me.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. Like, yeah, because, I don't know, you do expect, like, you get a flashback to, like, just a few years ago or whatever, then you realize, like, oh, wait, no, that was so long ago. Really. I don't know. It's definitely strange.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was only, like, 3. I wasn't old in 1992 by any stretch, but still, it is distressing. But yeah, we see this, like, little girl who lives in this house go out to the pool, and she's like a toy boat, like, floating in the water, and she, like, reaches out for it and gets pulled under, and she yells for help, but no one comes, and that's just kind of, like, it leads us to her title screen, and that's just kind of your thing. More in all this much, much later, when Kerry Condon goes to talk to the mother of this family that lived here at the time, and gets a boatload of exposition, no pun intended. So, yeah. But we're introduced to Wyatt Russell's character. He's having these little episodes. He's got a walking stick. At first, I thought he was just, like, he got injured playing baseball. Like, he landed wrong or something, broke his leg. He's doing rehab. But then he goes to the doctor, and it's like, oh, no, you've got MS. It's progressing to a worse state. And he still, like, seems to hold on to some hope that he'll get to play baseball again at some point. And that feels like, that's copium, as the kids say. So,
copium?
Copium, that's something the kids say, Tim.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
You know, so it's like, so coping, right? So to cope, and, like, but as a resource, copium.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Copium, yeah, something the kids say.
Those crazy kids, what will they think of next?
Yeah, I mean, hell, by the time your kids are saying stupid stuff, they'll be past that, they'll be out of the next generation of bullshit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But they get shown, like, a nice house that's got all these, like, fancy smart house features and railings everywhere that's kind of designed for someone who needs extra medical help and things like that. But they go to the house with a pool, and he's like, hey, there's a pool here. I've always wanted a pool. Maybe we should come here. So even though he falls in the pool when he sees, like, a baseball floating in the water, which... I don't have much to say about that scene, more than anything. It's just kind of...
It is just funny that he almost dies, and they're like, we'll take it.
Well, they go to the hospital first, to be fair. It's later on where he's like, oh, what about that one with the pool? I mean, it's nice, it's big, there's a pool. Did I mention the pool? There's a swimming pool, darling.
And do they... do you remember if they mentioned, like, where this is supposed to take place?
Oh... Do you know? I don't think I caught a location, no.
Yeah, I was just curious because it didn't seem like, California or something where, because, you know, it feels like, I don't know, just, it seemed like there was, like, a lot of, like, big trees and leaves and stuff everywhere. Like, it seemed a little more, like, New England-y or something to me, which, it's not always the warmest there, so you don't even always get, like, that many... opportunities to
that's true. That said, but, though, the pool guy did mention when he comes in to inspect it after they try to clean it up and this liquid comes out of the drain, he does mention that this is, like, tapped into a natural hot spring, so
that's right. Yeah,
so maybe the water is nice and cozy even when it's not that great. Obviously,
yeah, that's like, I'm sure it's like a real thing or whatever, but it did sound like weird magic water when he's like, oh yeah, this like spring that it's tapped into, it's heated and it has all these healing properties and helps you with, like, your skin and stuff. I was like, all right, what the hell is this water?
Well, I think all the rest of it was just more just like, I hear cats jumping around in the background. Very good.
Something's falling.
Yes. That feels like the sort of thing that, like, the ad, like, you know, like, oh, we're selling fancy bottled water from the volcanoes of Iceland. Right. It's got healing properties. That just sounds like that sort of, like, advertising fluff more than anything.
Sure.
But I do think, like, I think, obviously, it's more rare to have pools in that part of the US, wherever they are. It does look more like they're in the East Coast or something like that. But I don't think it's completely unheard of. And
oh, no. I mean, yeah, like, yeah, we had a pool in my old house, but yeah, I was just kind of... it was just curious to me because, like, and that, I don't know. For some reason, something about the movie, it didn't feel like, you know, like, oh, it's like the middle of the summer and it's hot and people want to go out and sure. swim, you know?
I mean, to be fair, the impression from, like, everyone else and, like, when they have people over for the party, it kind of sounds like they're the only one in the neighborhood with a pool. So it sounds like it is
oh, yeah.
irregular there to have a pool, but their house just happens to have one because it's a magic pool that connects to... Basically, this secret spring is kind of the equivalent of your house is built on top of an Indian burial ground.
Right,
that's,
yeah.
That's the equivalent of what it is, effectively. We should want to talk about the kids a little bit since we're, like, early on sure. and we're talking about the characters. The teen daughter is just kind of fine. She's just, you know, she's there. She's not bad. I wouldn't say she stands out as being that good either. She's just, you know, she's inoffensive. I think the son's a bit annoying.
Yeah.
the acting quality from the son's a little bit rougher, I will say.
It's not the best, yeah.
He's kind of like, they're going for that, like, oh, he's kind of shy and he wants to play baseball like his dad, but he's kind of antisocial and he's shit at it. And he feels threatened anytime his dad shows affection to, like, any other boys whatsoever.
Yeah.
So they kind of set that up. The girl's whole thing, I thought they were going to do more with her, like, having, like, kind of a new boyfriend that they set up, but it ended up only being for the Marco Polo scene, and then, like, he never really shows up ever again. So it's like, okay, well.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not really super interesting. They're not, like, terrible characters. It just, it doesn't really... Yeah, I feel like it does that much with them.
I think it hurts the third act, actually, that they don't spend more time with them and develop them, because the entire third act, like, especially when the way the third act starts, it really follows the kids on their own, and, like, they're getting scared, and the boy's the one in jeopardy, and the sisters try to protect them. It felt like, you know, we've focused so much on the parents, and I understand why to an extent, but it feels like we've not focused enough on these kids to really give a shit about them when they're the ones in danger. So... I think that does a disservice to that last act that we don't spend a bit more time. And, you know, like, there's one moment in the middle of the movie after he's been scared by the pool where he's sleeping on the floor in her bedroom and she's, like, said to the mom, like, oh, he asked if he could sleep in here. And I'm like, oh, that was, like, the one moment where it kind of showed, oh, she does care about her little brother, right? But there's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of, I'm usually, like, a little shit to him because he's my little brother, but when he's actually scared or needs help, like, she's there to look out for him. Like, that's the briefest glimpse you get of that, really, until he's actually, you know, fighting for his life later on. But, you know, so I think that's a bit of an issue for me as well.
I was trying to think if I wonder if part of the reason why the kid is supposed to be a little annoying is if, like, you want to be a little bit more tempted by the end to, like, sacrifice him.
Like, they want the audience to be like, yeah, go on, just sacrifice the son.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a weeder. You could be a great baseball player again.
I feel like... I don't think the movie wants us to feel that way. No. I'll say that. I don't think the movie wants us to think like that.
Probably, yeah.
But, hey, it is what it is. But yeah, he goes to the baseball practice. Like, honestly, remembering, like, all the sequence of, like, when all the pool things happen is probably quite rough, but all the family members basically have their moment in the pool where the mom, I think, is first, where she's swimming at night and she, like, thinks she sees her husband standing at the edge, but he's not actually there, and it freaks her out a little bit. It's not enough to make her think, oh, there's something actually going on, but it's just a bit of a spooky moment. It's whatever. The son has a bigger thing where he's, like, throwing coins into the pool and going down to get them. And he basically, this moment felt like a ripoff of the famous scene in It with the We All Float Down
absolutely.
Here. You know, because the drain at the side is very much like the storm drain at the side of a road. And there's just this, like, ghost talking to him saying, hey, here's your action figure, little Elliot, that was his name.
I guess in general, I do kind of like this, the idea of this scene, but yeah, it just does feel like so much of a ripoff. Like, it is exactly it.
Yeah.
And then it did make me laugh, though, like afterwards when he's trying to tell his mom about it, and she's like, oh, it was probably like a neighborhood kid playing a prank or something. Like, no, like, that's not like that, like the filter or whatever, that's not like something a human being can like crawl into.
I can only imagine, you know? She didn't believe that the person he was talking about was inside the, you know, the vent or the duct or whatever you want to call it. Like,
yeah.
I have to assume she's like, oh no, she was just standing at the edge. Like, come on now. Stop being an idiot child, right? Stop pretending. Yeah. that's the only way I can explain it. It's the only way I can explain it. That was the boy's whole thing, though. It was that scene, and that kind of freaks him out. And then the girl has her thing because she invites the boy she likes over. And she's all like,
from the Christian swim club.
From the Christian swim club, that's right. Which gives her a reason to want to practice swimming. And the dad's got a reason because the water's good for his physical therapy. So they've all got reasons to be in the pool, pretty much. But he comes over, and the daughter's not, I mean, she's older, but she's like maybe 15, something around there. She doesn't look that old to me.
Yeah, some high school age.
Yeah. But like her and the like, they don't, you know, he kisses her a little bit at the end of the scene, but they're just, you know, swimming and playing Marco Polo. It's nothing too nefarious, but they do a whole thing here where they're playing Marco Polo, and when they switch so that she's the one with her eyes closed, he stops responding and he gets spooky, and she ends up going under the water and almost getting pulled into this like basically infinite dark ocean that's kind of like at the bottom of the pool that opens up sometimes. And I will say here, actually, that between this, but especially later on when the mum goes swimming to get the sun back, is that apparently when you're in the infinite part of this water, that having to breathe just doesn't matter anymore, because...
Yeah.
Because they don't even, like... Yeah, obviously when the mum comes back up to the top later on, she's out of breath, like she's been holding her breath for a while, but I'm like, no. You were down there for a long-ass time. And just looking around casually, like it wasn't even a concern. Like, no one was worried about breath in this movie.
Yeah, it didn't bother me as much with these ones early on. But then by the end, with the kid, I was just like, oh, like, he should not be alive. Like,
no.
By the time they get him out, he's been down there for like 10 minutes or something.
No. Yeah, the only way you can explain it is, oh, it's a magic pool with supernatural powers. That's the only reason why you can explain anything.
And so, and I think, so with the girl here... this scene, I think you get the jump scare with it kind of looks like a really bloated watery corpse or something.
Yeah,
it kind of surprises her. I actually got kind of excited about this because like, oh, like I kind of like the look of this like monster, and I was thinking, oh, if there's gonna be like this kind of weird ghost monster that's in the pool that's gonna like start attacking people, like this could be kind of cool and we get some like creature stuff. But not really. You do see like some more corpses and stuff later on, but it does feel like very insidious, like to me, where it's like, yeah, when you're kind of going into that, you know, deep infinite end of the pool, you start seeing like just these kind of random ghosts and stuff. But it never really got as interesting as I kind of hoped it would be. But for a second there, I kind of, oh, I like this bloated corpse thing. And
yeah, I think
more of it.
I think the idea is that's just everyone the pool's ever consumed, right? Because we learn that the pool consumes people every time a new family moves in, and this is just everyone that's ever been taken, which, you know, it's fine. I think, honestly, like, there have been a portal at the bottom of the pool that some kind of monster comes out of would have been way more of a fun movie to me, because it would have been a bit more straightforward. Oh, and there'd have been some level of rules to it where, okay, it's a physical thing that comes out of the portal, so at least there's some logic to what happens. But because this is all supernatural, it's just kind of like, ah, no, it can, you know, the dirty water will eventually possess someone, and like the ghost will just pop up out of nowhere. Time will kind of like freeze, because the daughter here has this whole incident, and then when she finally gets free and comes back up to the top and she's screaming, the boyfriend's like, oh, hey, what's wrong? What's wrong? You were only down there for like a second. And I'm like, okay, so time works differently when you go down into the infinite as well? Like, you know?
That was a big thing for me, too, because I kept, like, this scene, I kept going, all right, where the hell is this guy? Like, he, like, at some point you think he would come back into the water and be like, hey, I'm over here, like, surprise or whatever. But yeah, the scene goes on for so long, and then, like you said, once she's back, he's like, oh, it's just been a few seconds or whatever.
Yeah, he never left, basically. Like, the only reason why she thought she was alone was because of supernatural nonsense, right? Like, and that's frustrating to me, because it's like, they're doing that fast and loose thing with the supernatural stuff, where it's like, oh, we don't have to have rules for this or, like, a consistent logic. We'll just do what we want in the moment because we've thought of a scene. But the scenes are pretty, like, tropey and stereotypical. There's nothing special about it, so it's, you're not even getting, like, a good thing out of it either, so it's just frustrating and annoying at the same time.
Yeah, it really started to bother me, like, later on too, when, like, I kind of assumed that at least the pool's power was kind of limited to just being in the pool, but then it seems like later on that's like, well, no, I can, like, do stuff inside the house and stuff too, which, like, really irked me.
Well, it seems like I can do stuff via the water. Like, the water can do stuff, which I guess is an okay rule to have, but it's really only used for one or two little things, is it? Like, I love the idea of the plumbing's haunted. Like, that actually sounds like a funny movie, but they don't do enough with it, sadly. But, like, the girl's freaked out, and the brother's like, hey, like, I know you were scared when you came up. Something's wrong with that pool. And the sister basically says, look, I probably do agree with you, something weird happened last night and that there's something going on, but it's also helping dad, and mum's really stressed right now looking after him, and all this is going on, everyone's happy. Are you going to ruin that and make his move by, like, going and crying about the pool? Like, this is not fair to them. So, like, I kind of appreciated this in the sense that it felt like she was being a little bit more grown up and trying to, like, okay, you know what, it's not a big deal. Let's just not ruin, like, this new house for the parents by being, like, shitty kids, because that's what it'll look like. But at the same time, as a movie watcher, it was frustrating, because at this point, we're, like, almost maybe an hour into the movie, and it's like, oh, we're still at this stage where, like, no one's talking about the pool really yet, or, like, acknowledging there's something going on, and, like, oh, we're going to do, like, a pool party to get to know the neighborhood soon, kind of thing.
I think you're being a little too kind to this scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this absolutely made me furious. I
get it. You hate children. Yeah. That's why it was such a bold choice to have them yourself, Tim.
I know. Well, I thought I could change them.
I could change them into adults. I'm still trying, damn it. One day it'll happen.
This is a... I guess, like, a trope or a cliche that I really hate in movies, when someone experiences a very clear paranormal thing, but instead they don't want to do anything about it because they're afraid that they'll seem crazy or whatever. When, like, everyone's different, but if this happened to me, like, you know, no way I'm not telling everyone. Like, at the very least, it's, like, an interesting story I would want to talk about.
On that front, sure, but... I will say, I do find it more justifiable, that fear of no one believing you when you're a kid. Because, like...
Sure.
Like, adults will naturally just, like, be like, oh, come on now. Like, because to be fair, the boy already tried to say what happened to him, and the mum was like, ah, don't be silly, you little shit. Like...
Well, there's a couple of things with that. So, first of all, like, I would believe it more if it was maybe just her, and she thought she had, like, a weird episode or something. But the fact that it happened to... you know, her brother as well, like, that to me, she should be like, okay, this is something where people aren't gonna be safe, like, we should tell someone. And then the other thing is, like, the severity of the situation, because it's not like she just saw something out of the corner of her eye and then got scared, you know, because there's other stuff, like, you know, characters will see someone that they think is at the top of the pool, then they lift their head up and they're not there. Like, if it was something like that and she just thought, like, was kind of harmless, like, I would understand not wanting to tell anyone. But the fact that, like, you're being dragged down into this other dimension and you're seeing, like, creepy ghosts in the pool, like, as, you know, if she was also, like, a little kid, maybe, or whatever, but she seems old enough that she should understand, like, oh, like, this is, like, crazy shit that, like, people can get seriously hurt, especially, like, our family members could die from this, and especially be like, oh, yeah, we're having a big pool party, like, tomorrow, where the whole neighborhood's coming. Like, you should be more concerned about what's going on. I just made me mad.
I can buy that she's not sure what she wants to believe about it, because it is such a extreme paranormal thing, right? And to be fair, she's too scared to go back out of the water herself at the party. She's like, no, I'm not going in. Like, I'm good. The boy also isn't going back in the pool. And even the mum is not going in the pool. She's even looking a little bit like worried as she's chopping up the watermelon, looking at the pool, being like, oh no, someone's going to get hurt, kind of thing. Like, they do set it up that all three of the family members are kind of on edge. And it does, the plot reasons why what's going on does justify why it's those three characters that are on edge and not the dad, because the dad is the one who's going to be healed. So we'll come back and talk about the party, but just to explain the lore of the movie so we can kind of talk about what's going on. So after this party stuff happens and the mom has spoken to the realtor, who kind of opened up and said, oh, by the way, the reason why this house was cheap, I didn't know it at the time, but apparently the reason why the pool hadn't been used in years is because there was this incident where the girl disappeared and like people were superstitious or whatever. And the mom tracks down not only the fact that tons of people have went missing in this house, right? There's one person per family, but she tracks down the previous owner, who was the mother of the girl named Rebecca, who went missing at the start of the film in the flashback. And we get to her, she drives to her big fancy house now, and she's got like a breather and like a oxygen tank and all that. And I'm like, oh, did you also get healed? Is this like, and this is where I was like, oh, this is like a, almost like a Fountain of Eternal Youth kind of thing, but you have to like sacrifice something to it to like get the eternal youth. And that's kind of what she explained. She's like, yeah, like, you know, my son was like in a hospital bed. He was like dying and he needed help. And she basically denies that her daughter Rebecca ever existed. But we get these little glimpses of the flashback that basically confirm this mother sacrificed her daughter to save her son because she liked her son more, and let her daughter be taken by the water. And also explains that this spring that was there centuries ago, before the houses were built and before the neighborhood, was a worship spring where the local community like made sacrifices to it and worshipped it because it would heal them and make their lives better and blah, 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 blah. This is the stuff that you were alluding to earlier. It's like, yeah. Wait, how do you know all this? I guess you did some serious research in the intervening years. But this is where it was getting to really cliched territory. And what was more worrying is that this was like an hour and 15 minutes into the movie, maybe. It was like really late in by the time we were even getting to the exposition stuff.
Yeah, I hated everything about this. Like, it was just so... cliche, and nothing about it felt like original. It was just like, yeah, like you could have easily guessed. I literally did like joke about, oh, this is where she's gonna explain this and this, and it's like, oh yeah, just nothing like original about it, just seen it a million times. And then
are they of course enjoy the performance from the character either, though? Like, is she guilty about her daughter? No, it feels like she's just, at first it feels like she's just intentionally forgotten her to like suppress that, but then she's like, oh no, Rebecca had to be given, and you'll see, it'll help your husband, he's been chosen to be healed, you just have to give up someone to do it. And that's obviously what leads out of the third act, and she's rushing back to the house. But
Also she still seems to be like somewhat, I don't know, possessed or something, because she's having like the black water is like coming out down her eyes, and she's doing like this creepy smile. And
she has this like water fountain, and I was getting the impression that this house was tapped into the same spring or something, and she intentionally had the water coming from the spring to her house.
That would make sense. Like, I guess my first thought was that, like, I don't know, once the water has a hold on you, it kind of, you know, no matter where you go, that would also make sense if they just had their own little reserve or whatever too.
Yeah, and of course, one of the big themes of this movie is that the dad is like more obsessed with getting back to being a baseball player than being, you know, with his family. The idea that being a family man isn't enough for him, and he's obsessed with, you know, his career and with his passion, and it's constantly kind of challenging that with, you know, him saying, yeah, this is enough for me, and the wife saying, hey, this needs to be enough for you, we'll get through this together, you know, all that stuff. And then
it's kind of like me with this podcast.
Wait, are you like that with your family and the this podcast is like your baseball, or are you like that with the podcast and the family is the thing you actually want to get to?
I guess it could work for either.
Yeah.
I was thinking the option A.
Okay. Yeah,
where I'm just, you know, I'm just like underwater practicing talking into a microphone.
Yeah, yeah. The thrill of podcasting, just you keep coming back for more. You just can't get away from it. Because there's a scene where he goes to the dad that is, goes to, and this is after he's feeling good. Because one thing we haven't mentioned yet is that early on, the family has a cat. Right, the family has a cat who we see out in the diving board in the middle of the night, and I knew something was going to happen to the cat. I was thankful we didn't see anything though. We just sort of cut to the next day and the collar's floating in the water, and they're concerned the cats went missing or drowned or whatever. But this has like made him better, right? The dad's gotten better for a while because of this. Obviously, the cat sacrifice is not enough for a permanent fix to MS.
That was a big sticking point with my wife when we were watching that, because whenever they would later bring on, like, oh, the water needs a sacrifice, it needs a sacrifice, she kept saying, like, no, it already had a sacrifice, the cat, that should be enough.
It's not enough, it needs to be a human, it needs to be one of his kids, sorry. But,
like, is it just, like, a mass thing? Like, if it was, like, a, yeah, like, if it was bigger, if it was, like, a mountain lion or something, would that be okay?
I think it has to... I'm going to assume it's like the getting that one stone in Avengers Infinity War where you have to, like, it's the amount that you love the person being sacrificed. So he liked the cat, but he loves his children. So one of the kids has to die.
That makes sense.
that's my head canon, anyway. But after he's feeling better and he's like not using the cane anymore, he goes to the baseball practice, right? Where his son's trying out, and like, there's this other kid who wants an autograph, and it's this other kid's dad who's like throwing the pitches, and he's like giving the kids advice, and he steps up to the bat. He's like, hey, why don't you take a few swings? You're the professional baseball player. He's like, oh, I'm kind of sick, but you know what? I'll give it a try. And we've seen him like sort of fantasize about this earlier on. You see like there's like a moment where it's like he recorded on this old digital camera, like almost like a demo reel of his athletic ability, saying, I can still swing, I can still do this. So he steps up to the plate and he misses a couple of the swings. And the two things that really got me about this scene was, one, how serious they took this for the family's reactions. Because as soon as he said, yeah, just for fun, I'll take a couple of swings, the wife and the kids were all watching like, oh no, he's off the wagon. Like, that was the looks in their face. It was like he was taking a swig of booze and he's an alcoholic. They were deeply concerned that he was taking some swings with a baseball bat. And I get that in the broad strokes, it's like, oh, he could like hurt himself because he's not physically like capable or whatever. But like, I mean, I don't know. I felt like their reactions were extreme. But the other thing that made me laugh though is that after he misses a couple times and he's like zoning in and he starts like seeing the dream he had again of like him swinging a baseball in a stadium again, and then it cuts to a shot of the pool and the water's rippling, like the water's like sending him power. That made me laugh. That was the moment where I burst out laughing and said, okay, I think this movie might be insanely stupid. And I don't think it's going to come back from this now. And of course, he hits the ball out of the park. There's a slow motion shot of the ball getting hit and it's like peeling off as the impact happens. Anyway, what are you saying, Tom?
Oh no, I do agree that scene was funny, but I wish there was more stuff like that, or they played that stuff up more to be, you know, to just make it a bit funnier or whatever. Because like, it's, yeah, like we're laughing at it, but I definitely don't think it was the movie's intention for that to be funny.
Well, I think if it had been a movie where it felt like the whole thing was about, oh no, this is a guy who is going to slowly get possessed by a swimming pool, as stupid as that sounds, if that's what the movie was and that's what it focused on, that might be something. But I feel like it doesn't do enough with the pool's reaching out to him and making him do stuff. He obviously does start acting like an asshole later on, right? He does sort of get possessed, like he's, you know, an Amityville Horror or even The Shining or something like that. But it doesn't, like, it feels like it comes relatively quickly, because they do a whole thing after the whole the pool party part of the movie where, like, okay, let's just leave. The wife wants to go because the pool's clearly effed up. Let's just go. But then when they try and leave, he starts coughing up black water, and it's like the pool's not letting him leave. The pool knows that they're trying to leave, and the pill's not letting them, and it's got its hooks into him, or should I say it's got its water tendrils. I don't know what a good water equivalent is, but
diving board. I don't know.
It's fishing hooks. I don't know. So they're like, okay,
hooks are already pretty watery. Yeah.
You got Captain Hook, you got hooks for ships and fishing hooks. There's lots of water related hooks, to be fair. I mean, what is an anchor if not just a set of hooks all duct taped together?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the type of
anchor. Question I ask myself every day.
Anyway, we have to talk about the pill party, because this is where he gets possessed while he's got the other kid that he met, right? He wanted the baseball signed and all that. He's got this other kid on his shoulders in the pool, and he's taking on this big guy and this who's got a kid on his shoulders. So it's kind of like a father-son thing, but not with his actual son.
Have you seen this before? It's a game called Chicken.
I mean, I'm familiar with the game called Chicken, where two cars drive towards each other. I don't know if I'm familiar with the water variant of it.
It's a pool game, and I don't know. It's kind of a weird game, because I don't know. It does seem like a little overly violent. Like, you're trying to push someone into the pool. Like,
yeah, the two kids are trying to push each other off the shoulders at the pool. Yeah, but they're backing up at the deep end, and eventually Wyatt Russell's character, his head's just under the water. But then once the kid up top wins the game, he's like, okay, that's me, you can let me go now. He doesn't let go, and he keeps going deeper and deeper until the kid's been held underwater. And eventually the kid's dad jumps in, and even when they jump in to get him out, he also is almost drowned. So it's like, okay, you endangered this kid, but you clearly also almost died. But the other parents are like, no, never come to yours again. This was absurd and dangerous, like, leave us alone. And it's like, okay, and that's what makes the wife want to leave finally, and you know, they get stopped by the supernatural forces who stop them from leaving.
One thing I do want to mention up, a very unnecessary part of this scene is they show early on the son is kind of staying away from the party, and he sets up a camera to record. But like, I missed something, but that never comes up. Like,
no, I know you were probably thinking that, oh, he's going to like catch something on camera that they can see later on that's going to like prove
later
something.
On they'll watch it. Yeah, like they'll watch it later on, and then he'll do a freeze frame and he'll see like, oh, there's a shadow over my dad's face, like he's possessed or something.
Which would have been cliched as shit as well, don't get me wrong. Right. But they set it up, so they should have done something with it. Honestly, Tim, I would not be surprised if that scene exists. It just was cut out of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I agree. But the other thing that I thought was kind of funny about it, though, would be if anyone caught him doing it, he would seem like such a creep. Like, imagine like a big pool party, like everyone is like in their swimsuits and stuff, and you just see like some kid with a camera like in the window recording it all. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, especially since this actor's so like plain faced, the way he plays everything so stoically and kind of just almost monotone that it wasn't a good look. But luckily, the attempted murder of another child sort of distracted from his weirdness.
Right. and then like it's another like weird thing with, you know, not a lot of stuff with about the pool being explained, but it's like, you know, it seems like, all right, someone has to be sacrificed, but then it also seems like the pool will specifically pick someone for a target. Like, I think at some point they start saying like, oh no, it has to be Elliot or whatever. But then it's kind of like, all right, but then why are you like messing with like other people and stuff too? Or like, why the random kid during the pool party? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the kid in the pool party is kind of a weird one. I can't really explain that. I think the other ones I would explain is the pool was kind of like getting a taste of each family member, right? And ultimately wanted to pick Elliot after he, like, the pool had messed with all three of them. It's like, you know, it tried scaring the wife, it tried scaring the daughter and the son, and it decided it wanted the son. Why it did what it did during the pool party by trying to make him drown the other kid, I don't know. Maybe the pool was just really hungry. It was like, oh, maybe we could just sacrifice this kid instead. But that would completely fly in the face of my whole, like, oh, it has to be someone that he cares about, because it's just this other kid.
I mean, maybe he did like that kid more. He's better at baseball.
You're the son I wish I had. Then Elliot's just over the side crying his little eyes out. I'm not going to lie, if I was a dad, I'd be a prick and say things like that in front of my kid. I'd be like, oh, son I never had. And just while your real son's just sitting there, Wyatt's just sitting there crying his eyes out. Dad, how could you say such a thing? I'm right here.
there's lots of fun things you can do to emotionally scar your kids.
Like, I don't want kids, but the one thing that I'm missing out on is emotionally scarring them for life.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one thing that I think I'd enjoy.
I mean, everyone, you know, gets into parenting for different reasons, but I think that's usually a pretty common one. And this is a part where I start to banter.
Sorry, Tim, I didn't mean to throw you into the deep end there. just remember, Tim, pick a favorite early just to traumatize the other one. Okay, just
well, like, for me, that's like, you know, my dogs. Like, I love my kids, but but my dog will always be my favorite.
Yes kids, if the dog's ever drowning, you let yourself die and you save the dog. That's the important thing. Oh dear, we're having a good time. I mean, the movie sucked, but
yeah, it's fun.
Oh dear.
Hey, what would these movies be if we couldn't get together afterwards and talk about them, have a laugh?
Well, at least there's a purpose to watching them by doing this. Like, if I was just watching this and then didn't ever speak about it, I'd be like, I just spent 100 minutes watching Night Swim and have nothing to show for it.
That's why whenever I watch a really bad movie, I instantly message you and say, hey, I got the next bonus movie picked out.
Yeah. Oh, we should do Despot in a bonus episode. We haven't done Despot yet.
Absolutely. I'm surprised we haven't already.
We haven't, no. Maybe that'll be coming up soon. Maybe that'll be a nice summary bonus episode.
Yeah, we can get in shape, watch some Despot.
Yeah. We're going to do like a fitness episode first where we're just pumping iron. Ooh. Do some stretches. Stretch them. Come on, stretch them.
Sure.
Anyway.
What is the them that are being stretched?
Your muscles, your biceps, your...
Oh, okay.
Various parts of your body.
All right.
What do you think I meant?
Your balls.
That's like the one thing you don't have to work out when you're exercising. I'm also pretty sure it's the one thing that definitely gets a lot of use on general day-to-day anyway. Your wrists and your balls, like, it's the only thing that gets a workout on a regular basis. Anyway, the mom does some research, we get the computer scene, she goes off and talks to the woman with all the exposition, and she comes rushing back. And while she's rushing him back, the dad's, like, sick in bed, but he's, like, his eyes go... It does that thing, basically, when the daughter's, like, going around the house and it's kind of spooky, he appears, like, behind her. And this was, like, this was the most generic thing in the whole movie, is the dad standing behind her in the darkness, but you can clearly see he's got the dark eye makeup, like, around his eyes, to show that he's, like, possessed or, like, part ghost now or whatever. And I'm, like... And then he does the thing where they do the quick jump cut, where she's trying to, like, text for help or something, and he, like, he's not there, and he just sort of, like, appears in front of her and slaps out the phone and says, "Don't do that!" Like, in a really demonic voice. And I'm like, okay, this started out okay, and then I realized that I didn't really like the plot the more it went on, but this is the moment where I'm like, okay, this is actually shit now. Like, we're in actual shit territory now, once it gets to this part. When he... Because this is the thing. The son's been lured into the pool, right? Because he hears the cat, and he's been pulled down into the water. And this is all about the girl being kept occupied whilst the brother is consumed by the pool. And then that turns into both the mother and the daughter getting it. Because they've got, like, a pool covering, which is trying to close when the boy's already went down.
The
daughter's trying to hold it because it's just turning on its own. Which, again, the rules of the supernatural stuff in this movie, okay, I get why the glass of water in the kitchen, like, falls off the table, because if we're going with the logic that the water itself came from the same source, then the water is, you know, it can move on its own. Fine.
Sure.
Right? But the covering for the pool is just a physical object. Like, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's weird.
But both the mum and the daughter have to grab onto it to stop it from closing. And the daughter runs in to get help when the mum tries to dive down to get the boy. And I actually thought she got stabbed in the wrist with a bit of glass, because she trips where this glass of water that she left on the counter has fallen over on its own, and she lands in a bit of glass. It ends up only being her palm, but I actually thought, but it was hard to tell at first, that I thought it was sticking out of her wrist, and I thought, oh, geez. But
I'll give the movie some credit. I didn't think this was, like, a pretty, like, I don't know, like, a visceral scene. I mean, you know, it's not like... I mean, maybe I just kind of have a thing with like glass. Always kind of freaks me out, but yeah, I did think it like was pretty gruesome, like seeing the glass sticking out and pulling it out.
Yeah, it was an alright effect for sure. I have no complaints. What I do have a complaint about though is just the visual of the mum getting the son back in the infinite sort of deep pool, which, and you see like the ghosts floating around like the periphery, and you've got this sort of this the single beam of light. Like, I hate in supernatural movies where it just feels really blatant and kind of cheesy when we get this stuff to me, where it's just a little bit too like majestic. And I feel like for me, for this to be creepy, it has to be a lot darker. You have to really sell this idea of something can pop out at any angle because you're surrounded by hell, effectively. You know, but like The Further, funnily enough, in Insidious. Whereas here, it feels a bit more like they're playing it for the emotion. The strings are going, and she's like grabbing her son, and she's like, you know, she's put the hose down with her to like hold on to, at least for part of the journey anyway, so she can breathe out of it. But then she's like down for ages, she's not breathing, and so they get all the way back up to the top. And the movie at this point is very predictable, because you know what's going to happen. The dad is going to regain control somehow, which he does. Basically, all the family keeps saying to him, "Dad, you know, fight this, you're still in there, blah, blah, blah." And he coughs up a bunch of the black water, and the son's still dying, right? And they're dragging the son away, but it's killing him just like it was killing the dad earlier. And the dad, of course, is going to sacrifice himself to save his son. The idea that if he gives himself up to the pool, then that'll save the son. The pool will heal the son because he sacrificed himself. And it makes sense. It's the only way he can really redeem himself. Not that he chose to do a lot of what he did, but the only way for him to like redeem himself in the eyes of the audience, really, is to like give up his life so his son can live. Rather than the previous pettiness of, oh, killing my son will cure my illness, which is super unlikable. And that's basically it. You know, there's a final scene where we see the family filling the pool in with dirt, and they're like, we're not going to move because another family will just move in and it'll happen to them, so we're just going to cover it up. And given how wonky the rules of this pool have been, I have no idea if the pool will just find new ways to have water come up through the sink and take victims next time anyway. But apparently they're now safe as long as it's still them that's living there. It won't take anyone else from the same family. Very lucky that. But yeah, that's how it's working. So
one thing I forgot to mention too is, so when the mom rescues the son and she's swimming back, they kind of seem like they get confused. Yeah. So of course you have the spirit of the girl we've seen previously, Rebecca. She like points them in the right direction. But it kind of confused me a little bit because it's like, okay, so is she like the one like spirit that is still good, that like, you know, wants to help people or whatever? Because it seemed like earlier when she was talking to, you know, the kid in the filter or whatever, it didn't seem like she was acting very nice.
I don't think that was her. I mean, I know she said it was her, but it seemed like another one came up and grabbed him, because it was like an adult that was grabbing him when that happened.
But it's like she was still like luring him to, you know, the filter, like, you know, I'm sure she would have known what was going to happen. Like, she could have said, like, quick, get out of the pool or something, if you want to establish that she's, like, the good ghost or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, stay away from the pool. Don't go in.
But it's an interesting question. Why is everyone else sort of turned into a sort of monstrous-looking, like, evil ghost, but she's still relatively an innocent child? Is it just because she's the most recent and she's not been down here long enough to turn into something else yet? Maybe. Yeah. Is that all it is? I don't know.
Again, I feel like that's like another like tropey thing that I feel like we've seen it in movies for the past couple of years, where you have all this scary stuff, but then like there's the one good ghost that's trying to help or whatever.
Yeah, which also just sucks any kind of tension or horror out of it for me. You know, like all I could feel in this last like 20 minutes was like none of this is remotely. Like, I don't like saying nothing scary, because, you know, very few horror movies are actually scary to me, but, like, you know, none of it's engaging on a horror movie level. Everything just feels so saccharine, because it's going for the emotion of it, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, on another podcast I listened to, I think they refer to it as, like, hug me horror or something like that, where it's like, you know, so many horror movies nowadays feel like they have to have this, like, you know, sweet happy ending where everything works out and, like, everyone just wants to hug and feel good and stuff. And yeah, it's not like I'm against a happy ending. Like, you know, there's plenty of movies that have a happy ending and stuff that I enjoy, but I don't know, something about the kind of trend of the last couple of years of these kind of movies that do it, that, like you said, just feels very saccharine and, like, a little too overly sweet.
It feels like we've had a decade of this at this point, to be honest.
Yeah.
It feels like ever since Conjuring made supernatural movies the popular horror, like, subgenre, we've been getting these, like, every year since, pretty much. And I'm not saying Conjuring itself is that guilty. I mean, it has a lot of guilt, because they do ultimately save the family in that movie, right? So, you know, it does have a happy ending, but it feels like so many movies since that film have just wanted to be another take on The Conjuring. And
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, this is no different to me, honestly. Like, there's a little bit, like I say, like the pool's kind of like the Pet Cemetery in a way, and that you get something back from it for, you know, not burying someone, but you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, as we're going through it, like, yeah, it is, I don't know, like, I mean, other than the fact that it takes place in a pool, like, there's really nothing about this that feels original. Like we mentioned, you know, the one scene feels very much like it. Yeah, there's shades of, yeah, Pet Cemetery. The dad being possessed feels like The Shining or Amityville or, you know, The Conjuring. So many movies that you can, yeah, take that from. Again, the pool really reminded me, when they're going, yeah, deep down, that really reminded me of, like, Insidious. So, yeah, there's just really nothing about this that feels, like, original or unique in any way.
Yeah, I think when you said Insidious, I didn't really get it at first until you explained it, because when I think of Insidious, I was thinking more like the fact that there's so many interesting different ghosts showing up, and then you know, by the end of that movie, there's a good reason why there's so many ghosts. There's kind of lore behind why, like, there's all these different ghosts coming for the same kid.
Yeah.
And that's part of what made that so fun, because a lot of thought went into the mythology of it, whereas here it feels the mythology slapped together and, like, not even thought about all that much. Or if it is, they've cut out so much of it that I don't think it makes much sense.
Oh, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with maybe taking inspiration from other places. Like, if they were maybe doing stuff that was similar like this, but they were finding their own spin and they were doing it very, you know, in an interesting, unique way, that'd totally be fine. Or if it was, like, you know, a lot better directed or looked more interesting or creepy, like, you know, that could be fine, but it all just feels more like, oh yeah, we're just trying to rip this off or whatever. Just never comes across as really anything interesting.
I think if the idea of this deep down that's under the pool was focused on more and felt more like a sort of cosmic horror thing, I could be into that. Because I'm not against the idea that a character makes a choice to sacrifice themselves by the end necessarily. I think that's fine conceptually. I just have to really care about why they're sacrificing themselves, and I have to care about the fact that they're making that choice. But, like, I don't really care about these kid characters by the end of this, you know?
No, not at all.
So, yeah, rough time. We've definitely seen worse. It's not too bad early on. The character, the parents at least, are relatively well defined, and you understand what they're going through, and they're likable enough people. Maybe they really could have went further with him and made it feel like he really is obsessed with baseball and, like, getting back to it, and he can't live with the fact that his life changed. But yeah, I don't know. So, hey. All right, Timmy, what are you rating Night Swim?
So one quick thing I do want to mention, because I actually wasn't thinking about it until you brought it up, but the scene where, she's on the phone and, you know, Wyatt Russell knocks it out of her hand and says, "Don't do that." That actually got a really big laugh from me and my wife, because that's just something our son Wyatt says whenever you're doing something he doesn't like, or sometimes you can just, like, not be doing anything, like, you could just be picking up a book or something, it'll say, "Don't do that." But it was just that was very funny to us. So that being said, yeah, I do agree, it's not the worst movie in the world, but it was an easy enough watch, but the more I think about it, the more I do just kind of get angry about how cliched and you know, how many tropes and stuff it is. And it is interesting because I do feel like a lot of movies are, you know, more worse off from the start. But it is kind of interesting that this one starts off as, like, not that bad, and then does slowly, you know, get more and more into that territory of stuff that I don't like. So at first I was thinking probably around a 4 or something, but I don't, just the fact that the more I talk about it, the more it's kind of making me angry, just how much stuff felt like ripoffs or was just really not interesting or anything about it, especially after kind of squandering, like, you know, a decent enough opening 20-ish, 30-ish minutes or whatever. So I'm going to go a smidge below that and give it a 3.5. Yeah, it sucks. I don't know. There's a little glimmer of like, oh, maybe this might not be that bad, or maybe it will be a little cheesy and funny, but ultimately it just ends up straying way too far into the kind of hacky cliche territory that is such a bummer to watch because it's just more uninspired and boring than anything else, you know. At least if they took a swing, baseball pun instead of a pun, and, like, you know, really went overboard, again, a little bit of a water pun, and like, you know, just trying to be very over the top and cheesy, like, it, you know, if people are constantly running around and saying, like, there's something wrong with the pool, like, you know, I'd probably be laughing more and having more of a good time. But again, it's doing that thing where it's just way too self-serious than it really needs to be. And yeah, so 3.5, pretty disappointing, I gotta say.
Yeah, I think I'm going with a 4. It's bad, but it's not complete garbage. Is the nicest thing I can say about it. Like, it doesn't feel like it's down at the level of, say, I don't know, what have we done recently that I've given like 2s and 3s to? Like, but, you know, there's like, I feel like on Screams After Midnight, more than any other show I do, we really use the entire 10 like point system. Like, there's like, I feel like some people or places that rate things out of 10, everything under the 5 is just kind of a mush. I feel like we've seen enough bad movies now, there's actually a good spectrum of what each of those numbers represent. And I think 4 out of 10 feels right for me. I think it's, you know, below average. I think it's got frustrating elements. I do like the cast. I like the credits at the end. I know it's like a small but like the ripples, like it was on water, and there was kind of a kind of new age kind of song playing. Oh, that was all right, but you know, sure. it's not much to go on, but some. But I would definitely never watch it again, and I would never recommend anyone watch it. I just don't think it's as insultingly painful to get through as, you know, some other things that we have done. Right, it's more, it's just bad instead of like, oh, one of the worst things I've ever seen, like, kind of
right
thing. So
it's on Peacock. If you know, if you have Peacock and you're really, you just want to watch something new you haven't seen before, then it's Peacock. Like, throw it on.
Peacock, those birds don't work on water.
Very good.
That was excellent. I dare you.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really recommend it that much either, unless it's just, you know, you're kind of a horror completionist that want to, you know, you want to watch everything. Or maybe, hey, you want to watch it so you can listen to this episode without being spoiled.
Sure, but,
hey,
sure.
By all means.
Hey, some of you sickos I know will watch every movie we do just so you're really into the conversation. And I respect, I appreciate it. Nice. And I get it. Like if you're going to watch some bad horror movies, you'd rather do it and then be able to, like, vent along with us. Like, absolutely. Right, I totally get it. But yeah, as far as like just a regular viewing goes, I would never recommend it in a million years.
Sure.
The good news is that most of our episodes kind of verge on the length of the movie, so you could just listen to this as a commentary track over the top of it.
Yeah,
sort of take in the movie as we talk about it. Why not? Perfect plan. But yeah, that'll do us for Night Swim. And you know what, Tim? I made it this late in the review, and I did not make a reference to the song by R.E.M.,
Oh,
I want an award. I want points. I want maybe a parade would be good for that restraint.
I'll see what I can do.
Welsh, you were over there with your terrible water puns and your boat puns and even your baseball puns, you sick freak. So, yes, that's that. Next time on the show, everyone, we're actually doing a movie that may be good. I'm looking forward to it because
it's been so long.
I know. Next week, we are going to be looking at Late Night with the Devil.
Woohoo!
Get prepared for that, folks. It's coming. It's coming soon. So, of course, I mentioned at the start, you can support us on patreon.com/mailfuzzTV. You get a bonus episode or an exclusive episode, whatever you want to phrase it, every month. Last episode we did of that was Spookies, which is a truly insane 80s movie. We tend to do kind of crazy 80s movies and things like that for the bonus episodes. So sometimes there's a exception, but that tends to be the kind of vibe that those go for. We've done like Deadly Friend, we've done what else have we done? I don't know. Other
Primal Rage.
Primal Rage, that was one. 976 Evil, which directed by Robert Englund. No, that was a regular episode.
Oh, that was a regular episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, but it was a regular one. But yeah, you'll go get that. There's a back catalogue now of about 40.
Oh, Rabid Grannies.
That was one we did recently, yeah. I liked that one much more than Tim, but you can go and see it for yourself.
I still liked it.
And see who you side with. But yeah, there's a back catalogue of about 40 of those, plus at the $5 tier and up, you get the even more stream segments, which we try and do a couple of every month. And it'll usually be like a wacky top five, or maybe talking about a big news thing, or a few trailers that maybe came out, that kind of thing. Just whatever little horror topic we want to cover for 20 up to sometimes an hour, well, 20 minutes to an hour, not 20 hours to 1 hour. that's a long day of recording. I don't know if me and Tim can stomach that much time. But hey, go check that out. Plus there's bonuses for all the other movie shows that are on MailFuzz Movies over there, such as the Atomic Cinema Experiment, the Sci-Fi Movie Podcast, and Collector's Cut, which is another movie podcast that I do with David, which is one where we go through like franchises and like director filmographies and things like that, and sort of tackle them one movie at a time. So recently we did Ghostbusters, so we did all five of those, with the new one kind of like topping it off. Right now we're doing dance movie season for some goddamn reason, but yeah. So if you want to hear me see a lot of old dance movies for the first time, you can hear me talk about that over there. But that is the show, everyone. Thank you very much for joining. We will see you next time for Late Night with the Devil. But let us know what you think of Night Swim in the comments below. But otherwise, that is us. So thank you once again for watching or listening. We always appreciate it. Keep watching scary movies, and we will see you next time.